Yay, he's risen. As we watched that this week, I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if as soon as we'd played that video, we somehow managed to send everybody a text at the same time and everybody could pick up their phone. I thought we couldn't work out a way of doing that. That would have been great. If you have your Bibles with you, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. Oh, it's on the screen. And it may well be on the screen, but paper Bible is the best thing. It may well be on the screen. You don't get the same sense. Paper Bible's much better. If you have a Bible, or turn on your Bible, or look. We're reading John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, whilst it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was him. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus turned to her and said, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. What an amazing story that we have before us this evening. An amazing story of faith and of some extent fear as well. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In a quiet, unassuming way. This, no whooping in the evening congregation. This is the greatest day in history, as we sang this morning. Jesus, whom his friends and his family and indeed all Jerusalem thought was dead, was raised to life. Death could not hold him. Woo! Thank you, Heather. Not only was he raised to life, but he appeared to people. As we've just heard, he presented himself to Peter, who denied him, to Thomas, who doubted him, to Mary, who wept for him, and he visited his friends. He dined with his disciples, he had breakfast on the beach, he walked and talked with his followers. That first Easter day was an incredible day. One that started with disbelief, with fear, and with trembling, and with bewilderment beside this empty tomb, and ends with astonishment and excitement and celebration, and all those emotions we saw when people were looking at their mobile phones. What a turnaround! What a transformation. This is the greatest story that has ever been told. This changes nations. It changes hearts. It makes a difference. And as we've lived through Holy Week, those of us who've travelled the journey from Monday Thursday as we gathered here on Good Friday, I've been connecting afresh with the feelings of the disciples. And do you know what I've never really got my head around about Resurrection Day? Is this. It's a lack of faith in the disciples. They had spent 3 years with Jesus. They had been by his side when they saw him raise people from death to life, when they'd seen him heal, when they'd seen him walk on water. They had seen him calm storms and be sovereign over nature. And all along he said, "I am going to die. And I will come back. And when it comes to the Sunday, not one of them was expecting his words to come true. Not a Scooby. Mary was not there because she was waiting for him to arrive back. She was there to anoint his body. Not one of them hoped or expected to see him again. Not one of them was stood at watch by the tomb. No one waited to see if he would rise. Their hopes just died. Their convictions died. Their faith in Jesus just died. And there they were, huddled in the upper room where they'd celebrated the Passover, hiding because they were in fear of the authorities and of what they would do. Their problem was that their faith was overcome by their fear. Even though they'd physically spent years with Jesus, they could not believe that everything he said would come true, because their fear was dictating their faith. Their fear was dictating their faith. And humanly, we can understand that. They were afraid of the authorities. They were afraid that death is the end. They were afraid of their own shadow. They were just afraid. And I think we might actually understand the position they were in. Because sometimes when we're up to our neck in stress, when worry and grief and our problems overcome us, we let that speak to us. Rather than telling our worries how big God is, we let our worries dictate the size and the sovereignty of God. It's true, don't we? We do that. Maybe that's just me. My Auntie Evelyn was the only Christian member of our family, and she used to have this catchphrase,
Louise, my girl, don't tell God how big your problems are, tell your problems how big God is.
And that's true. But we forget to do that, don't we? In the midst of when life consumes us, our fear sometimes dictates our faith. And that's the position the disciples were in. They were afraid. And we can understand that. And what I think it's great, time and time again, when I read the resurrection appearances, when I read the stories, is that when the resurrection was first discovered, it wasn't discovered by Peter, who founds the church, but by two women, and their job is to go and tell. They go finish the job of burying him, and they're not expecting the resurrection either. Despite what they'd seen, despite what they'd heard, despite what they'd experienced, but Jesus surprises them. And Jesus is like that. Jesus always surprises us. He reaches out to us when we're far away. He heals us when we least expect it. He convicts us through his Holy Spirit. And he says always that the full stop is not until I say. Because of today, resurrection happens. Life begins again. And things change in the lives of the disciples because of resurrection. Their hope had died until they see Jesus face to face. And then he raises their faith from the grave. He brings back to life their dead convictions, and he restores the hope that they had lost. Maybe there's some of us here today that need a bit of that. Need our faith being raised back to life. Need bringing back to life our convictions. Our hopes being restored once more. Let me remind you, lovely church, that it is because of the resurrection that we are here today. If it had not happened, the disciples would not have gone on. They would never had the courage or the audacity or the nerve to go and preach in public, let alone to claim that he'd risen and that he was the Lord of the living and the dead. Let me share the effect of their faith after Jesus had been risen. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. The resurrection of Christ, it will appear. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his faith to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. The resurrection is the most important thing we believe as Christians. Do you agree? Oh, several nods. It's the center of our faith. It's the foundation of our Christian experience. It's the goal to which our lives move. Now, I've never been able to understand those Christians who can believe everything else about Jesus, but don't believe in the physical resurrection. In my placement church, when I was training for the ministry, the minister, Paul, who was my placement supervisor, did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. He and I argued pretty much for an entire year. He was so grateful when they ordained me and he didn't have to put up with me any longer. He believed it was a spiritual resurrection. Interestingly, he had no problem with the raising of Lazarus from the dead, with the virgin birth, with loads of miracles, but apparently the physical resurrection of Jesus was out. Don't understand that. Don't know what you do with all the post-resurrection appearances in Scripture if it's a spiritual resurrection, but there you go. I don't understand it, how you cannot believe that, because it's the center on which everything else hangs. It's the most important thing that we believe. Not because it's a nice ending to the story and it ties everything up neatly in a nice bow, but it's the beginning of our story as Christians. A story in which our faith can triumph over death because Jesus showed the way through death and walks through death and tells us that death is not the end that it may seem, but there is a new way. As Christians, we're urged to accept over and over again, to trust the reality of what the resurrection does in our lives, to make it part of our experience, as part of our Christian life, as we put our faith and our trust in the one who holds it all together, without whom we cannot live or breathe or have our being. The resurrection is important. And Christians, we promise that when we trust and we believe, that we also trust and believe in the power of God that brings Jesus back to life. A power that says that the dead can be raised, that lives can be blessed, that people can be healed when we pray for them, and that God is still at work today to transform and change people's lives. Do we believe that? Moderately we do. Fantastic. We're promised that if we believe in the resurrection, it makes a difference to our lives. It does. Let me tell you a story. It's a true story because it comes from the internet. In Russia a few years ago, a railway worker accidentally locked himself in a refrigeration unit. Oh dear, that's not a good thing to do. And he's unable to escape. He hasn't got his mobile there. He's unable to attract attention. And so he resigns himself to his fate. And he gets colder and colder. And his body becomes numb. And he takes a pencil out of his pocket to record the story of his impending death. You're all looking terribly serious at this point. He writes on the walls of this refrigeration unit, "I'm becoming colder." Still colder in Russian, obviously. "I'm slowly freezing, half asleep. These may be my last words." I should have gone to drama school. I'm feeling very dramatic. And he dies. But when they open the unit and they find the man dead, they discover actually the mechanism that was there to freeze the van actually wasn't on, nor was it working. And actually there was loads of air, and the temperature was warm enough to carry on. But he believed he was cold, and he believed he was going to die. Although there was no physical reason, apparently, in this story that it would be so. And so they concluded that he died because he believed that he would. And so he did. Bizarre story. I don't know how true that is. But I do know that what you believe, if it is deep within your core, it shapes and makes you who you are. It either blesses you because it opens you up to the power of God. If it's a positive thing that you believe, if it's a godly thing that you believe, or it afflicts you because it blinds you to what you could be, if it's a negative and ungodly thing. So what do you believe today, and how are you allowing that to transform and to shape your life? Think of what happened to the disciples after the first Easter morning, after they'd finally accepted and believed in the resurrection of Christ. They came out of the upper room, and from that moment, life changes. They went to the ends of the earth. And after Pentecost happens, they were unstoppable. Off they went, creating, under the power of God, a mighty church because they believed that, and even emperors and princes could not stamp out their faith. They went from people afraid of dying to people who offered their very lives because of what they believed. What a difference. It transformed and shaped them because of the resurrection. It changed them. It gave them power to conquer their fear, to conquer their despair, and to live again. So my question to you this morning is, if that's what resurrection faith is about, how are you doing on letting your faith conquer your fear? How are you doing? Is God allowed into every bit of fearfulness? Is God allowed into those little dark corners that says, not going there, Lord? Is God allowed in to those closed doors where we cower in fear? Because that's exactly where he wants to be. Because this is what the resurrection is about. If it does not change us, it means nothing. The resurrection is about transforming who we are, to go from fear to faith-filled living. Today reminds us that there is nothing outside the power of God. God can roll stones away. Huge big boulders, he can bring back to life that which is dead. He can do the impossible, because nothing is a limit to him. Maybe we need to have a bit more resurrection faith in those areas where our faith has been quelled by fear. We are a people of the resurrection. We are a people who believe that Jesus is alive. Amen?
Amen.
He can do anything. So what is it that you need him to do today? What is it that you need him to do today? What stone do you need rolling away today? He can do that because he is our risen Saviour. Amen.